This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 416. This episode was pre-recorded. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Let's all take our seats. It's Crisis 111. Someone on this satellite is a murderer. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. Or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Like us at facebook.com/sfppn. Follow us on Twitter @sfppn. Check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. Or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Now, we are taping in advance.
As we do all of our issues like this.
Right. We're covering the annual JLA-JSA team-ups. And in our last class, mystery heroes from the quarter boxes dropped by. But let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
The guest star for this story is the Golden Age Mr. Terrific. His first appearance was in Sensation Comics number 1, 1942. This was Wonder Woman's title in the Golden Age. So even then, he was a backup hero.
Yes, well, yeah. Mr. Terrific.
Yeah. Terry Sloan, self-made millionaire with Olympic-level athletic skills and a mastery of martial arts, is the world's second smartest man. So basically a Batman clone. He believed in fair play to the point of wearing those words on his belt.
And yet, ironically, the Mr. Terrific we've seen most recently in the comics was sort of a bad guy.
Yep. The Murderer Among Us, Crisis Above Earth 1, Justice League of America number 171 in 1979 by Conway, Dillon, McLaughlin, and Oda. The cover shows the heroes surrounding a table with a shrouded dead body on it, while Flash and GL tell us they must find the culprit or other superheroes will die. So the heroes are actually introduced on the first splash page, and representing the JLA, Superman, Batman, GL, Flash, Hawkman, Zatanna, who just joined in that past year, and Red Tornado. From the JSA, Power Girl, The Huntress, GL, Flash, Hawkman, Dr. Fate, and the aforementioned Mr. Terrific. We begin on the JLA satellite, 22,300 miles above Earth. Zatanna, in her 70s disco witch jumpsuit, calls the meeting to order as the current chairperson, then quickly adjourns for refreshments on the rec deck. You gotta love JLA's rules of order. We have to have a formal meeting before we enjoy ourselves.
I'm not quite sure why, what business they'd have to discuss, you know, if they're two separate groups. I don't know.
Hey, there have to be minutes of the meeting.
Robert's rules of order.
Power Girl congratulates her for running the meeting. Really?
You did a great job hitting that gavel.
Yeah. Being in a group is new for her. But Hawkman of Earth 2 says she proved herself on her own, which is why they offered her the gig, resulting in a kiss from Zatanna.
Ooh.
Mr. Terrific explains to the Flashes why he came out of retirement. An old foe named the Spirit King broke into the university where he now works. Jay Flash says he didn't have to come out of retirement. He just should have asked Jay Flash to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific flips out, saying, "I'm not too old to do this." And I would guess, though, Terrific and Jay Flash are probably about the same age.
You would guess, yeah.
So he storms out, saying that, quote, "one of you will be branded a traitor." Cut to Batman and Huntress, who are looking at the stars and commiserate over Batman of Earth 2's death that previous year. "Uncle Bruce, could you hold me?"
You.
Hawkman of Earth 1 and Dr. Fate talk archaeology, while the GLs talk about Hal's new trucker job, because Hal was quite a derelict in the 70s.
You know, this is quite the cocktail party. Why do they even bother getting together like this once a year? It seems like their yearly meetings are always interrupted by some sort of crisis.
Just some sort of coincidence there.
And they have the trans matter and the whatever the other thing is, right?
Yeah, yes.
So why couldn't they just enjoy each other's companies at other times individually and not be attracting these huge crisis events?
It's a comic book.
I know.
Superman notices that Power Girl has slipped away. Suddenly, as always, there's an explosion. They're losing air. Batman says not to worry. The auto repair system will kick in, except it doesn't.
So my question here was, why didn't the Green Lanterns just manifest something to hold the air in place while the other people fixed it?
Because you got more dynamic artwork this way.
Okay.
The flying heroes go to repair the damage, and Superman finds Mr. Terrific's body in the rubble. While the Metalab diagnoses the cause of death, Flash and Huntress debate about the explosion. Was it metal fatigue or a bomb? Zatanna does her backwards magic bit to learn what happened and is thrown into a coma for her trouble. Is someone else on the satellite? The Flashes check out all the rooms at super speed. Nope, only the heroes. Red Tornado checked the computer. No one transported or transmattered out. Superman announces the Metalab findings. The explosion was designed to create the cause of death. Strangulation, and says, one of us is a murderer. I Accuse, Justice League of America number 172 in 1979 by Conway, Dillon, McLaughlin, and Oda. Now, I actually had this issue as a kid, but not the first issue that led into this.
Weren't you confused?
Not really. But back to the action. Superman asks the GLs and Dr. Fate to seal up the satellite so no one can leave. So I guess Supes is the vice chairman at this point, and with Zatanna out of action, he steps in?
Maybe, it's not, yes.
It's a clear broach of the rules. They should have had some sort of committee meeting to decide who would be the vice chairman during this crisis. Huntress remembers and provides a recap. The GLs and Fate put a ring power / magic globe around the station. And GL of Earth 2 muses, how are we going to get out later? How's that going to work? Superman calls everyone together and appoints Batman and Huntress to investigate because they're the two detectives of their worlds. Batman asks, who spoke to the Terrific last? Those were the Flashes. And we get another flashback. And the reference to a traitor in their midst. Huntress suggests Terrific may have been going senile, setting off Jay Flash. Relax, Jay. It's just a theory.
And this would again imply that Jay and Mr. Terrific are the same age because maybe Jay's going senile.
Yeah. Off to the scene of the crime. Batman finds a piece of rubble with heat scorches and what appear to be finger impressions in the metal. Huntress goes off to check the computer while Batman talks to Barry Flash to get more details on that conversation, because remember, Barry is a police scientist, and so he's more trained to remember details in that conversation. He noted that Terrific said he had tracked down the Spirit King, and that's why he was there. So it sounds like Terrific just wanted to make the accusation more dramatically a little later, and he died as a result. Huntress at the computer is hit by another explosion. She's badly burned, and Batman thinks she's the daughter he never had. Dr. Fate steps in and heals her, and she manages to tell Bruce that the Spirit King had stolen a portable seismograph at that university, and that who he suspects is actually correct before she drifts off to sleep. The Flashes put out the fire, and it's time for Batman to call everyone together, and like any detective story, explain in detail how he determined who the killer is. I know who killed Mr. Terrific. The marks on the rubble are finger impressions. They're too close together for Superman, but Power Girl? No, too obvious. The seismograph is the key. It could be used to track someone with super speed coming toward you. That can't be Barry because he never met Spirit King, but Jay had defeated Spirit King in their last clash, so the motive was revenge. Is Jay the murderer? Well, kind of, because Spirit King had possessed him. He used the seismograph to sense Jay's approach and trapped him. Still in Jay's body, he runs wild, lunges for the transmatter device, and escapes to Earth 2. And at that point, the hero's like, oh, well, we lost. But Superman says, they won. Well, it's kind of an emotional victory more than anything, because they never believed the worst in each other and worked together to find the truth. the JSA members go back to Earth 2 to track down Spirit King slash J, which I assume they did in the All-Star Comics title, or maybe it was never referenced again. GL says, there's one small problem. Got any ideas how we get out of here? Especially since Dr. Fate, who helped to create it, has already left?
But if the if the transmatter worked, why wouldn't the transporter?
Yeah. Laughter ensues, freeze frame, the end.
It doesn't make sense.
Actually, a little bit more of a contained story than what we normally see.
It was. I thought it would seem kind of short for the crisis event of the year.
Especially for a two-issue event.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in our next class, we get the new and improved gods.
Woohoo!
Sorry, no who's on the cover this week because we are taping in advance. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed of other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
Email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.